Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I am joined today by the host of the Pylon to Pylon Podcast. It is Skylar Burkhart, LA Rams fan, a guy we had on in the summer, a guy we had on in week 5, I think it was, and now your team is in the Super Bowl, Skylar. So full circle, you're back on here for our what I like to think of as our, even though I do off-season shows, the final show of the 2018 season, the Super Bowl preview podcast. It has been a busy Super Bowl week, and I'm sure it's been a busy Super Bowl week for you. I know you've been doing a ton of stuff over at the Pylon to Pylon podcast. I know you've been on a ton of other podcasts. How's it been this week, man? Sounds like a whirlwind.
It's been absolutely crazy. I mean, coming from the Senior Bowl week, trying to get coverage off of that. I had two of my guys from the podcast out there doing work, so I was trying to get their stuff posted, and then just trying to take in what happened after the Saints game and just take the realization that the Rams are finally in the Super Bowl and how many years we have suffered to get there, from Steve Spagnuolo to Jeff Fisher. And here we are just going against our arch rivals, the Patriots, that tore us down for our second Super Bowl. And it's just hard to take in. I know a lot of Rams fans are sitting there just shocked. A lot of them haven't been around for the greatest show on turf or don't remember it. So this is their first experience at a real Super Bowl of their own team. And a lot of us don't know how to handle this.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of interesting because you almost get the same vibe from the Rams, because maybe I'm just not looking in the right place, but it feels like the Rams have been pretty quiet this week as well. There haven't been a ton of storylines about the Rams. They've just been kind of quietly preparing for this big game, and New England is kind of getting all the shine here, which is a little bit surprising to me.
I think it's really smart what the Rams are doing with their media. You definitely don't want to piss Tom Brady off. Coleman came out and even countered what he said and said, "I am not disrespecting Tom Brady at all. I have utmost respect for him," because he knows if you piss off Tom Brady going to the Super Bowl, he's going to play even better than when he was already going to. And I think that's what Wade Phillips and Sean McVay have told him. This is not some pushover team. They have been here, you know, seven, eight, whatever times it is. They know how to win this game. They know how to lose this game. They know it inside and out. We cannot take them for granted.
Yeah, I know that Roby Coleman walked those comments back, but honestly, it was some of the most accurate analysis of Tom Brady, I think, of the entire year. He isn't the same guy that he was at 24, and obviously you don't want to give him bulletin board material, but I didn't think he was super out of line saying he isn't the same guy that he was at 24, you know?
No, I definitely agree. Tom Brady's taking a step back, but it's no dramatic decline like Peyton Manning was at the end of his career.
Right.
This is Tom Brady, like, playing maybe like he's 26. It's nothing crazy. He's still got it. He's getting the ball even quicker than I've seen him in recent years. He's changed his game for his age and what he's losing, like his arm strength, whatever. He's getting the ball out quicker, and it looks amazing. And then you go back to the Chargers game, and Joey Bosa comes up to him and is like, "Can you stop throwing the ball so dang quick? I mean, he hasn't got sacked this whole postseason. That's incredible for his O-line and for how quickly he's getting the ball out."
Absolutely, and I'm really interested to see the matchup between the Rams, obviously great defensive line, and Tom Brady, because I think that's going to be a little bit of where the game's won and lost, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But how do you think Sean McVay has kind of handled this moment being his, because this is, even though people have kind of crowned him as the next Belichick or whatever, like, you still gotta remember that this is his first real big stage of his career. He and Jared Goff, these guys have never been here before.
No, I think Sean McVay's taking it in and just taking it day by day. He's trying to be very selective in his word choice and his routine, making sure it stays the same so he's not feeling overwhelmed. I mean, the media day is insane. I remember I caught a little bit interview of Wade Phillips talking to Jared Goff, said there's cameras everywhere, there's flashing in your eyes. It's crazy. It's hard to take in. And he's telling Jared Goff how to handle it. And I bet you he said to Sean McVay the same thing. Just be like, it's a whole different atmosphere. You got to take it in slowly and just realize this is just another game. It's just hype because of the media. That's it.
Yeah, but the crazy part is it's obviously not just another game, you know. It's the exactly. Super Bowl, and it's the biggest game of a lot of these players' careers, and I'm just really surprised how quiet the Rams have been all week. Usually there's at least one storyline that comes out, but I've been really impressed with how they've kind of reined everyone in and kept it pretty quiet. And this has honestly been, I call it Tom Brady Shrine Week or whatever. People are just talking about Tom Brady and how the Patriots are so great, but they've been here a million times before. And it just makes me wonder, like, are the Rams just going to come in and drop, like, a total bomb on New England this Sunday? I don't think it's going to happen, but just the way they've been very quiet and methodical, it's like, what are they hiding from us, you know?
No kidding. I mean, we've seen the statistic where the Patriots haven't scored. They've only scored, 3 points in the first quarter of the last couple Super Bowls total. And that's shocking to me to think the first quarter these Patriots aren't scoring. I mean, if they want to take advantage of it, the Rams are a good first quarter scoring team. They could go up 14-0 or 14-3 quick and then make the Patriots play catch-up ball, which is the ideal situation for them going to the Super Bowl. But let's not forget, on the defensive side with this Patriots team, they know what to do, and they have a Bill Belichick that kind of coaches them with their defensive coordinator as well. So they're going to be well-prepared.
Absolutely. Let's kind of take a look at that. I think one of the biggest matchups in this game is obviously between Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore. How do you think the Patriots' defense is going to attack the quickness that the Rams possess at wide receiver, even without Cooper Kupp?
It's going to be man coverage. The Patriots have to play a lot more man and make Jared Goff make these incredible throws that we see them make, and make these receivers really use their footwork to get open. Robert Woods, I think, is the better matchup to be watching for, because he's going to have the easier defenders on him being in the slot and going outside. They move him a lot more than they do Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks could be shut down by Gilmore, but I think from what we've seen, Cooks will get the ball one way or another to be effective. And there's just so much to look out for this Ram. These Rams have so many weapons on offense. The defense of the Patriots can't stop them all. It's just a matter of maintaining to which one you want to cater to, almost like which one is going to be your poison this game.
Obviously, the big names are there. C.J. Anderson, Todd Gurley, not Cooper Kupp, of course, he's injured. Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks. But talk to me about some of the guys on offense that LA has that the national media hasn't covered a ton that can really hurt the Patriots come Sunday.
If you want to go offensive line, you can talk about Rob Havenstein. There's been a couple cases for him being the best right tackle in football right now that's been quietly starting to come to light. You could talk about Josh Reynolds, how his play stepped up as of late, especially in the Saints game. He has some blunderheaded moves. It's all mental, really. But in the Saints game, we saw him make a bunch of crucial first downs. So the Rams need to keep that drive going and get that momentum. So I think that's another person you got to watch out for in Josh Reynolds. Other than that, Higbee's finally come to light again. They're using their tight ends more, and Higbee's going to be a pass catcher to watch out for to get that mismatch for the Rams on the Patriots linebackers.
I'm going to disagree with you on the defensive strategy. Going back to that for a second, I don't think the way to beat the Rams is by playing man, because I honestly think that Cooper Kupp, Joyner, why do I keep saying Cooper Kupp? Maybe it's just ingrained in my head from him performing so well up to, what was it, week 10 of this year when he went out with that gruesome leg injury. But you look at Brandon Cooks, Josh Reynolds, Robert Woods. Those guys are guys that are going to beat you mainly with speed, and I think they can beat man coverage. I don't know. I would expect the Patriots to play more zone, personally. Because I don't think the Patriots have a pass rush that's good enough to play man coverage. Because I think Jared Goff's going to get all day to throw, regardless, I think. I don't think the Patriots have anyone that can pressure him.
They have Flowers that is their sack leader right now.
Yeah, but still, I don't think Flowers is good enough to be a really good offensive line right now.
And I agree with that. But, I mean, this is a Super Bowl, and these Patriots are going to be prepared. The Patriots rank in the bottom 20, like, past 28 in sacks and pressures. So they're not a good pass-rushing team, and going against the Rams is going to be a challenge for them. But I think, ultimately, you do have to play man just to maintain those wide receivers. Granted, they have speed, but let's not forget Stephon Gilmore had an all-pro season. So let's not forget about that.
Absolutely. You flip teams, you have obviously Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, LaMarcus Joyner making up a secondary that has been really back and forth. They didn't look great against the Cowboys, in my opinion, but then they really stepped it up and played super well against the Saints. Are we going to get the kind of leaky Rams secondary that we sometimes see, or are we going to get the more shutdown style that they played on Sunday?
We're going to get the shutdown style. I think they're dialed in now. We've seen as Talib's came back from injury, they have been getting better and better every week. And now that they have 2 weeks to prepare for this Patriots team, I think they're going to be dialed in. Talib's going to command the secondary to gather them and be like, this is what we need to do. Don't get overwhelmed. You know, he's going to bring that leadership. And then John Johnson, can't forget about him, has been playing amazing for the Rams. And he's been crucial for a lot of man, you know, some of those man coverages when Peters gets burned or something. John Johnson's been there to make the stop.
Yeah, absolutely. Johnson's played really well this year at safety. So I think that the way you think the Patriots are going to play defense is the exact way I think the Rams should attack this. It's got to be a man-to-man kind of scheme, because I don't know. Every team that has thrown up a zone against Tom Brady in the postseason thus far has gotten carved up.
It's a different Rams defense. I hate to say it, but when they play zone, they play it really well. And Wade Phillips knows how to disguise zones and make it a little bit tricky for Tom Brady, even though he's seen everything in the book at this point.
Yeah, I just don't know if I'd trust Wade Phillips that much. You look at when I'm obviously a Broncos fan. You look at the Wade Phillips game plans that have worked the best against Tom Brady. It's when you are playing man and playing with two shutdown corners and able to get pass rush, which I think obviously the Rams will do.
The Rams have that capability. It's more Peters I'm worried about, because he makes those mental mistakes where he'll let the receiver get behind him, and then you have to let the safeties, you know, take the fall for it almost and come back and save him. So
yeah, but
I think
here, let me make a counterpoint to you. Outside of, I know Chris Hogan can go off, but I don't think the Patriots have enough weapons at wide receiver to really threaten Marcus Peters.
I could see that. I mean, they have smaller, elusive wide receivers than Hogan and Edelman. They have great footwork, and they know how to, you know, get open across the middle of the field. And that's where we're going to see the linebackers starting to put into a factor, depending how Wade Phillips does this defense, whether it's more zone, whether it's more man. In man, they're going to make sure they get Peters moving all the way around to make those mistakes. If he's playing zone, that's more comfortable for Peters, in my opinion, because then he can attack the ball and jump it and do what he does best.
Which I think that's where the Patriots having a massive advantage on the Rams, honestly, is those linebacker matchups, because you watch that Saints game, and yes, the secondary played great, but the Saints over and over again just kept hitting Alvin Kamara on that wheel route, and I could just totally see James White dominating these linebackers.
I've said that all week, and that's the main focus. I would think the Rams are going into the game, like, they have three running backs that are going to pass catch this ball, and especially James White, they can just take off at any point. You have to contain them and make Tom Brady beat you with his wide receivers. You have to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if that is the one part where I honestly, even at this point, don't know who I'm going to pick this game with. Obviously, within the next 10 to 15 minutes, I need to figure that out as we wrap up the show here in a little bit. But I think that the one place on paper where there is a definite mismatch is just with the Patriots running game. Not the running game, but their receiving out of the backfield, I should say. And I just don't know how the Rams are going to match up with, you know, James White. But let's flip it over to the other side of the ball now, because obviously the Rams offense has kind of struggled in recent weeks. They aren't what we saw at the beginning of the year, but they still have ways to beat you. And the Patriots linebackers, I would say, argue, are just as bad as the Rams linebackers. I would say the Patriots linebackers are the slow, have been consistently the slowest linebackers in football all year long, in my opinion, from what I see on the tape, you know. But I don't know. I feel like that's one place where if you can get Todd Gurley or CJ Anderson, particularly Gurley, receiving out of the backfield, I think you can really beat the Patriots that way. Would I be correct in thinking that?
Yeah, you got to get the Patriots linebackers moving. You want to get what Sean McVay loves to do is that play action, and then get Gurley involved, either catching the backfield or the play action to be able to open up the middle of the field. The linebackers will bite off of that, and then you're going to have the middle of the field open for Goff to make his throws to Woods and Cooks and whatnot over the middle. So you have to get that running game going and get Todd Gurley involved in every way you can to make the linebackers move.
Which I'm a little bit concerned about, because I don't know what your theory on Todd Gurley is, but I don't think he's right. He is the number one concern I have for the Rams, and the number one reason I am hesitant in maybe picking them, because I think he is the key to this game.
See, I understand. I've been in that question all week, and I found the best solution for that. And it's that Todd Gurley couldn't handle that moment in the Saints game. He was hurt. Let's not beat around the bush. After the Bears game, he wasn't himself. He got hurt during it, it looked like, or the week before. I think it was the Chiefs he got hurt and kept playing on the injury. And it obviously was a dumb idea on his part. Coming to the playoff when he got against the Saints, he just looked shell-shocked and didn't know how to handle it. He made that catch where he caused the interception. That's an easy catch he makes 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
And it looked like he's got shell shock, let it go.
He has a one in the red zone as well. It's, yeah.
He had it. He has all the tools necessary to be the greatest, but when it came to the Saints dome and how loud it was and the pressure of the moment, he couldn't handle it. I mean, that will change over time. The more he has the experience, the more he'll be adaptive to it. And that's why we saw them take Todd Gurley out and save him to be like, this is a learning experience for you now. Take it in. We're going to run with C.J. Anderson now, because he's been there. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to handle this stuff.
But you mentioned, you know, he wasn't ready for the biggest moment. I would say that's a very bad thing coming up, because this is literally the biggest moment of his career coming up on Sunday.
I've seen a couple analysis make the point, though, that the Super Bowl isn't as big as the Saints, for the reason that
I would completely disagree.
Animal, how loud it was. And you're coming to a Super Bowl where most people are casual fans, let's be honest, you're watching the Super Bowl that are there. So it's not going to be as loud. It's not going to be as crazy. So I feel like the pressure is a little bit less off of Gurley, and I hope he puts it together. If he gets on his A game, this is Rams team's unstoppable.
I'm just really hesitant to believe in Todd Gurley, and I know that sounds really stupid, probably, but I am not convinced that he is the same guy that he was earlier in the season. He is the number one worry I have about the Rams. I think Jared Goff is ready for the moment. He played absolutely, I don't know. Obviously, you're a Rams fan. I don't know if your thought on Jared Goff changed in the NFC Championship game, but in that game alone, I was kind of hesitant saying he was a top 10 NFL quarterback, but after that game, he's like obviously in the elite tier of quarterbacks in the NFL, because I just want to talk about that for a second. It feels like every time the Rams needed to make a play against the Saints, Jared Goff did it. Do you think he's going to be ready for the Super Bowl?
He's going to be ready. I mean, he's had all the week, all this time to prepare. And what I saw from him in the Saints game was everything I wanted to. He said he was going to correct his issues coming into the playoffs, and he did. And he played great. I mean, outside that interception, which wasn't even his fault, he played great. He made that insane throw where Cam Jordan and I forget the other defender were coming at him as he came off the play action. As soon as he turns, right there is Cam Jordan about to sack him. And he just throws this little wobbly pass over to Tyler Higbee on this last little hope, and boom, almost a first down, but it saved the sack. And that's the awareness you want to see, the growth you want to see from your young quarterback in the playoffs especially.
I would honestly say he's regressed, but in a good way almost. I feel like in this playoff run, he has taken a more game managerial approach to his game than he did at the beginning of the year. And I don't think he's making the throws he did at the beginning of the year, which were amazing and like top five quarterback throws. But he started making mistakes kind of in that middle stretch. And now he's kind of found a little bit of a sweet spot. Am I right? Because I know this pisses some Rams fans off. Am I right to say Jared Goff is a game manager? Because I feel like he's playing as a game manager, but don't get me wrong, I don't think that's a bad thing right now.
No, especially if you're this young and you're considered a game manager. I mean, Alex Smith has wrote his whole career being a game manager, and look where he's gotten all of his teams. It's a good title to have, especially being that young. That means he's processing the game better. He's slowing down. I mean, and the next year he could take off and go back to, you know, like he was saying, where he was competing with Patrick Mahomes for how many touchdowns he was throwing at the beginning of the season. It's there. It's just now he's slowing it down to make sure he's not making so many mental mistakes. He's trying to be more secure with the ball. He doesn't want to be a turnover machine and be the reason his team loses.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about the elephant in the room that I mean we should really address, which I mean probably not an elephant in the room, but one of the greatest players of all time, Aaron Donald, the Rams pass rush. What do you see from them in this game?
I really hope they get to Tom Brady, and I really need them to. I've been sitting here praying. I'm like, I know the Patriots line is good. Let's not forget that their guards have been playing great this year, and for whatever reason, the Patriots know how to get offensive line to work together. I think the Rams are going to get to Tom Brady. It's not going to be easy, and it can go either way, too. I could go back and forth on my prediction because I've struggled with all week, but I think the Rams at least get to Tom Brady twice to three times this game, and they get a few pressures, three sacks, a few pressures, and that'll be enough to win this game. But it just has to be an all effort from Aaron Donald, which he already is going to give the effort, but Sue has to play one of his best games. He cannot be lackluster at all.
Yeah, but I think that bodes well, because I would argue Sue has played his two best games of the season.
That is true. That is definitely true.
The last two games, and you look at even Dante Fowler, who really came on in that Saints game and was really excellent in pass rush. Like, I hate that game came down to that no call or whatever, because I think it really discredited the Rams for how well they played defense. They got to Drew Brees so many times in that game, and teams just weren't able to do that this season.
Yeah, I mean, we take that for granted, and because of that no call, we see all this attention going to the Saints when we're not talking about the Rams at all. I mean, we're talking about the Patriots being underdogs. Why aren't we talking about the Rams being underdogs? They have no experience. They're a young team. It's a first-time coach being in the Super Bowl, going against the greatest of all time for both, for the head coach and quarterback. Why are the Rams not considered that? It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. What is one part of this huge game that's covered by everyone that you think has been undercover that you might want to talk about?
What do you mean? Give me more detail on that.
Yeah, like, say, obviously we have all these storylines that we've talked about up to now. What is one part of this game that you think a lot of people are sleeping on that needs one element of what's going to happen Sunday that people aren't focusing enough on, if that makes sense? Pardon me for being ineloquent.
I think it's going to be special teams. Belichick has praised Johnny Hecker all week and all year about how much of a weapon he is for the Rams. And they aren't talking enough about that, because Johnny Hecker converted that special teams play against the Saints, and that kept the drive alive. I mean, we could see that happening again here in the Super Bowl. I mean, the last time we saw a crazy special teams play was, I would have, the most recent memory I can think of would be the Saints versus Colts, when they did the onside kick. I mean, Johnny Hecker could do this at any point. They could go for a field goal to tie the game, and for whatever reason, he picks up and throws it for a touchdown, and they could, you know, instead of tying the game, going to overtime, that wins the game. We could see something crazy like that happening. This is a Rams team isn't afraid to do that at any given point, and they're confident when they do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to ask you something, Mo. I saw a report that said Greg Zuerlein was injured on that final kick.
He was injured before the kick. He was injured.
Well, what's the status of that injury?
He's fine. He's wearing a boot as precautionary. He practiced limited today. Today's a Wednesday. And he's going to be fine for the game. He's doing treatments and whatnot. It's more precautionary. It wasn't his kicking leg. It's his plant leg. So nothing to worry about. He's going to be just fine for the game.
I would argue that is something to worry about. Like, the plant leg is a huge part of a kicker's mechanics. You aren't even the slightest bit worried about Zuerlein maybe being a bit off?
I'm not. He's been injury prone throughout his career, but whenever he says he's fine and, you know, the Rams medical staff clears him and say, yeah, he's going to be fine, he always is fine. The only thing major was that back issue, but they pulled him out for that. With this, I mean, this is just, you know, it could be a sore ankle or just kind of rolled it and it works itself out. It's 2 weeks to work it out, so I think he'll be fine.
Absolutely. All right. What's the X factor in this game that is going to decide this game?
I said it on another podcast last week, and I think it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be Josh Reynolds again this week. He made great first down plays for us against the Saints. He has a lot of mental lapses in the game where he doesn't run the route right or doesn't continue it or doesn't understand to get out of bounds. But I would think he's been growing from what I've been seeing, because come training camp when I first was there watching him, he looked lost. He knew what he was doing. And getting this experience with Cooper Kupp out, he looks like he's playing a lot better now, and he's getting a little bit smarter as he goes. So I think how he plays in this offense is really going to be the X factor of these Rams in getting their first downs and continuing the drives.
Yeah, absolutely. Reynolds will be, I believe as well, he's played absolutely excellently here the past few weeks. I think for the Patriots, you have to look at Rob Gronkowski, who's coming off his arguably best game of the year. I'm not sure who that's a mismatch between him and the Rams linebackers. I know he's looked slower throughout this season, but I think he's the most healthy he's been right now, and I don't know. I'm worried about Gronk. Am I right to be worried about Gronk?
You definitely should, but come game day, what Gronk are you going to get? He's been really bad. This is probably his worst season in the NFL career. And we don't know what Gronk we're getting. Are we getting the one that's going to throw up 3 touchdowns and 100 yards receiving? Or are we going to get the one that's held for 2 catches and 40 yards? And, you know, it's hard to say. If we get the bad Gronk that's not going to play well, the Rams can run away with this game, because that's a weapon completely taken out, which is arguably Tom Brady's first or second weapon.
Absolutely. All right, let's finish it up here. First off, give me a hot take for this game.
Hot take. I haven't given any one of these interviews. This is Jared Goff will throw for 3 touchdowns this game. I'm going to say 3 touchdowns. It's going to be a little crazy because he's been, you know, let's go a little bit further than that. There's going to be a fake punt, and the Rams are going to convert it. Let's go that. They're going to convert, and it's going to be in the third quarter.
That's hot. I like it. All right. Who you got in this game and why?
I got the Rams because of my confidence in them from what I see on tape, watching the Patriots as well. They have the better matchups. They have the better offensive weapons compared to the Patriots. Patriots have been inconsistent all year, back and forth. And then going with the Rams, they've been inconsistent, but they're getting better as it goes on, and they're getting more confident, and that's only going to help them. It's going to be a close game. I've kept this prediction very solid through all the podcasts I've been on and even mine. 28-24 Rams.
All right. I'm going to have to disagree with you. I think that you're right. I think on paper, the Rams are not mismatched in practically any area. They are definitely as good, if not better, than the Patriots. But I think the Patriots are absolutely going to maul the Rams with the quick passing game, with the running backs. I don't think Aaron Donald is going to have a chance to get to Tom Brady because he's going to get the ball out as quickly as we've seen the entire year. I think James White is going to have an absolutely awesome day. I think people are going to realize, finally, I can't believe he wasn't an All-Pro this year. You look at his numbers and the stuff he put out on tape. He was an absolute monster the entire year. I don't trust the Patriots' defense. I do not trust them at all. I think you're right. I think Jared Goff's going to have a huge day. I think Tom Brady's also going to have a massive day, though. I think that the Patriots win this one, and this is a high-scoring game, but the last time the Patriots were in it, it was a record-setting offensive Super Bowl. I think this game's going to be a lot more offensive than people think. I think the Patriots win the game 38-32. I'm going to say that at least that's my thought.
It's going to be a close game either way. High scoring, low scoring. This is not going to be a blowout either way. These teams are too good to get blown out. We've seen the Rams play all this year and they don't get blown out. And then same with the Patriots. They know what they're doing, especially in the Super Bowl atmosphere. So no matter what your opinion is on how these teams got to the Super Bowl, put it aside and watch this game. This is for a lot of people from the past of how the Patriots have scammed out their way into Super Bowls, allegedly, and all that stuff. And it's a rematch. And then also, this could be the end of the dynasty for the Patriots and the beginning of another one for the Rams. This is a lot of storylines focusing on this game.
Absolutely. Hey, man. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I know I talked about it a little bit earlier, but do you want to plug your podcast really quick?
Yeah, you guys can catch me at Burkhardt Skyler on Twitter. You can follow my podcast there at the PTP Podcast. You can hit us up on Instagram, iTunes, Spreaker, SoundCloud, all that good stuff if you want to hear any more of what we got. We're also doing a lot of Senior Bowl coverage and draft coverage as well, so keep in touch.
Absolutely. And hey, man, we'd love to have you back on in the off season, you know?
Yeah, awesome. I love talking draft. I'm hoping to get to the Senior Bowl this next year and get a little bit more knowledgeable. I keep missing my opportunity because funds are short at the time, but I cannot wait to get out there.
Absolutely. You're in Arizona right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in the warm weather.
Wow, absolutely. Well, if you ever make it up to Salt Lake, let me know. We'll
I will definitely let you know.
Anyways, thank you very much for joining me. We will be back Sunday night with the full recap of the game. You can follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric18Utah. You can follow Skyler again
at Burkhardt Skyler, or at the Pile on the Pile Podcast at the PTV Podcast on Twitter.
Go check it out. It's awesome. It's a great show. I listen to it. It's really well done. All right. We will see you guys Sunday night. Have a good Super Bowl. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.